Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most glorious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning. Like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are all like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch them, one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 132. Let us read together in unison. Lord, remember David and all the hardships he endured. How he swore an oath to the Lord and vowed vows to the mighty God of Jacob. I will not come under the roof of my house, nor climb up into my bed. I will not allow my eyes to sleep, nor let my eyelids slumber, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. The ark of the river it was in heaven. We find it in the fields of Jerem. Let us go into God's dwelling place. Let us fall upon our knees before his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Let your faithful people sing with joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn an oath to David. In truth, he will not break it. A son of the fruit of your body will I set upon your throne. If your children keep my covenant and my testimonies, I shall teach them. Their children will sit upon your throne forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Reading from the book of Revelation. Grace to you and peace from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the king of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is. It's so it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Well, here we are again, Lord. We do this every Sunday. But Father, let this Sunday be one that really marks our heart, that redirects our life, that isn't just going through a habit, but rather is actually one where we fuel up and prepare to go into the rest of the week. Help us to know that you go with us. Help us to be led by you and not by our own desires and our own feelings, but rather help us to trust in you in all things and about all things. For we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. You know, I have to be honest with you. You'd think that after 2 years of wearing a mask, I could get it on and off right. But I don't know about you, but you know, with this headset, I always get tangled up and it gets hung out, and then all of a sudden I say, how am I going to do this? You know, as I reflected on the scriptures for this week, I remembered a cartoon that I read. I think it was out of the New Yorker, and it was years ago. And it was a picture of actually a king standing on sort of this high porch off of his castle. And he looked out over the entire villages that were around. They were just shacks and huts and things like that. But his castle was just magnificent. And the caption underneath the cartoon said, "It's a nice place to reign, but I wouldn't want to live there." Oh. You know, it's funny because to me, as we celebrate the King of Kings Sunday, we have a king that didn't just reign and doesn't just reign in our lives, but actually made himself so he could be with us. You ever realize that? I mean, I have to remind myself of that. Sometimes I can go through the day and I think God's up there and I'm down here. And there's certain times, to tell you the truth, that I want to keep it that way. You know? But when I realize the God that I have, that the God that I have came in the form of Jesus Christ to be with us, which don't forget, this is the last Sunday of Pentecost. Next week is Advent, where we prepare for the coming of our Lord, both the first coming and the second coming. When I realized that, I sort of, some changes inside me. He cared enough to be with you and me. Do you know how powerful that is? That means that he cares so much about you. He loves you so much, and that you're his creation. No matter how flawed you might think you are, no matter how messed up you might be, no matter how screwed up you think you are, or anybody else thinks you are, he loves you so much that he just wanted to be with you. Now, why did he come? We're told he wanted to reconcile us back to the Father. We're told that he wanted us to give us life, and life in all its fullness. But I think he also wanted to ask each one of us a question. You know, it's interesting because in the gospel today, what we have is the story of Jesus, which here we are coming up to Christmas, but this is really the gospel for today is part of, you know, after he's arrested and he's facing Pontius Pilate.
And it's the story where here he is, he's already been arrested, he's already probably been beaten somewhat, you know, in certain ways, at least, you know, messed around. I don't think he was whipped yet, but at this point, he actually is confronted with Pilate, and Pilate looks at him and says, "Are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers him by saying this, "Do you know this of your own? Or did somebody else tell you, basically? Do you know this of your own? Or did other people tell you about me?" Well, it's funny. The first thing I always laugh about is the fact that Jesus, usually when he's asked a question, he answers with a question. Great technique. If you ever really want to get somebody messed up, do that. You know? But he always answers with a question. Are you the king of the Jews? Do you know this on your own? You know, when I started that, thinking about that, do you know this on your own? I thought to myself, you know, what are the other questions that Jesus asks us? Well, I mean, he tells us and asks us really clear. Do you believe? Why are you so afraid? Do you want to get well? That's the one that always gets me. Here are these people that have been blind for all their lives, and he goes, "Do you want to get well?" Well, duh, you know, I mean. But he asked him because, you know what? A lot of us, when we are asked, do we want to get well? Actually, we're more familiar with our brokenness than with our healthfulness that could come in. And a lot of us would rather stay where we are. I mean, think of some of the habits that all of us have that we just, well, that's just me. Do you want to get well? Do you believe? Do you love me? Do you love me? But then there's that question too that's in Scripture that's so clear, where Jesus comes and he's talking to his disciples and he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they respond, well, some say you're Elijah, some say, you know, you're one of the other prophets, some say, you know, all kinds of things. But then he says, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" You see, I think those are the questions that God comes to ask us. Who do you say that I am? What is your relationship with the living God? I mean, no offense, that's what all this is about. It's always been about that. That's why the church was built. The church was built not so we'd have a nice little comfortable place to come and we could pretend we could go through worship. The church was built. The synagogue was built. The temple was built. All of it's been built since the beginning of time when we sort of made it formalized. It was all to come together so that we could realize that we're in relationship with the living God. It's not where all of a sudden you show up and you say, "Well, I've been really moral this week, God, so, you know, I really think you should look out for me. You know, ethically, I have made no mistakes so far this day, so, you know, it should be going my way." I always get frightened when I do that. I kind of did that yesterday. And to be honest with you, the first thing I did was I took my bike ride, got a flat on the way back. Then I had a bunch of other stuff to do, and I couldn't match up, and I was driving Dana crazy because I had to do a wedding, but I had to have the sound system, and I couldn't figure out the right cord to put in. I thought I had the wrong cord, and then I found out he had actually given me the right cord, but I got the wrong cord because I had to do a wedding last night. Got through the wedding, and that would be a confession here. The wedding was David Schweitzer, who I've known for 41 years. It's Bev Gertis' son. For 41 years I've known him, and here his bride comes up, and I call his bride by the name of her son, not her. Her name's Nikita, son's name's Nico, and I just went brain dead. But everything went great. Then you know what happened? Here I am up on the North Beach, the whole nine yards, everything's going great. It's time to go. On the way out, I'm walking out, and here's a guy that I had, I guess he was in my Young Life Club back in the 80s. He's now a, what are you telling me, he was a radiation oncologist. I mean, he's done well. And luckily, I could remember things about him. You know, do you ever have that? 30 years ago, you're trying to think of things, and it's, you know, it's been a long time. I tend to forget more and more. Then I walk up to get into my truck, and the battery's dead. Battery's dead. I've been ethical. I've been doing everything God wanted me to do all day long, and you know what? It's going south. So you know what God does when that happens usually in my life? I call for help. And there's people that rush to help. The only problem is that when I call for help, David's brother, Kevin Schweitzer, comes out and he starts trying to open up the hood. We are not able to do it from the inside. So then the hood latch won't open. I'm waiting on a tow truck actually as we speak. Because I had to get a ride home. And this is after I was moral and ethical? Why bother? But it's not about that. It's about me and being in a relationship with God when the days are good and when the days aren't so good. It's about me being in a relationship with Jesus and knowing that He's present with me every step of the way. And having a sense of joy even when things are falling apart. I can honestly say that yesterday, when everything started going wrong, I wanted to get really angry. I wanted to blame somebody. I wanted to put my finger at somebody. And yet, for some reason, fortunately, God gave me the power to just say, it is what it is. Let it go. And you know what? My truck might still not run, but I'm operating pretty well today. What's the question? Yeah. Thanks, Billy. Coming from you, I know it's sincere. But the point of this whole thing is what is the question God's asking you? You know what He asks me a lot of the time? He asks me, how much skin do I have in this game of life? How much skin do I have in it? You know where that saying came from, right? It's from horse racing. How much skin do you have in it? How much are you invested in it? You know, I venture to guess maybe He doesn't use those words with you, but God, through Jesus Christ, asked each one of you that question, maybe in different ways. Maybe He's saying, do you believe? He may say to you, do you love me? He may say, who do you think I am? Or He may say to you, how much skin do you have in this game? Are you just standing on the outside and going through, in a sense, you know, the motions of looking like, well, I have the Christian faith. I'm moral, I'm ethical. Or are you going to answer, you know, I got skin in the game, I'm committed. I have a hard time believing. Or is, what? When Jesus asked the father of the demon-possessed boy, you know, why are you so unbelieving? The father responded back, help me in my unbelief. Maybe you're there. Help me in my unbelief. But the bottom line is this, is how much skin do you have in the game? Do you wrestle with that unbelief? Do you wrestle with those doubts? Do you wrestle with all those things? Do you come about where you say, you know what, I do love you. I do believe in you. I do know who you are. I trust you not just for eternal life because I have no other choice, but I trust you in what's happening today. Because truly, spirituality, Christianity is for today. It's not just for eternity. Because eternity starts right now. Jesus is brought in front of Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate has the ability to have him executed, which is ends with what's happening, or set him free. Pontius Pilate asks him a question, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus' first question is, are you asking that on your own? Or did others tell you? What he's basically saying to Pontius Pilate, could you be one of my believers? Doesn't seem like it would fit, but could you be? That says to me that there's room in the kingdom of God for each and every one of us. There is a desire in the kingdom of God that each and every one of us enter deeply into it. That means that at every turn that Jesus is saying, the potential is within each one of you, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how screwed up yesterday was, you got a shot at today. And today is all you got. As you come to the Eucharist this day, maybe he's asking you the question, how much skin you got in the game? Are you committed? Do you believe? Don't just go through the motions. Do you love me? Because it's in that love that life begins. And it's in that love that life continues. And it's in that love that we experience eternal life. Not in a couple days from now, but right now. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.